Dybala! He is something else. Di Lorenzo, and still Di Lorenzo! The captain brings the house down. Partenopea champions once again, but the 33-year wait will now officially come to an end.
Ciao ragazzi, and welcome to another edition of Serie A Sit Down, World Football Index's podcast for your culture to go as I adjust my camera and things break around me. I'm Frank Crivello. He's Richard Carmen. Ciao, Richard.
Ciao, Frank, the man who doesn't pay his bills. Breaking things here.
How are you? My bills. It's the damn StreamYard wasn't loading, and I was stuck on a screen and all this other funds. I held it. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I can't complain. Just plugging along here. We had great summer weather this weekend, and now we're back to early spring weather where we're getting rained on and all that great stuff. It never ends. The Calcio, the goals dry up on Saturday, and then they're in abundance on Sunday and Monday. I can't figure it out anymore.
No.
So why even bother? So it was an interesting weekend on that front. We had some European games, things like that. I think as results continue to pour in, we're seeing, Italy look to be cementing things at least for the fifth spot for the Champions League next season under the new format. Borussia Dortmund did themselves a favor because they're fifth in Bundesliga, so why not win, right? I saw that, Ali. We got people in the chats already packed, man. They've been waiting for us, and I appreciate it. Sorry, it was my fault as usual. We got amazing Vince, and we got Anthony LaFleur, Eduardo's here, Ollie's here. Good to have you all with us. If you are tuning in here on the YouTube channel, go ahead and check in on the chat so we know who you are. That would be very much appreciated. So, we got quite a bit to talk about here. So we'll certainly get right to it. We're going to have a reaction to Atalanta and Roma's big wins in the Europa League on Thursday, and what we think will happen with those games in leg two. Also, we'll throw in the Fiorentina Victoria Pilsen second leg. They ended 0-0 in Czechia in the first leg. Pilsen's in Czechia, right?
I believe so.
What do I know? We'll recap everything that happened in match week 32. A lot of meh, in terms of game importance and all of that other stuff, but we'll talk about it anyway. We'll finish with the world's most popular hashtag game, Who Won Calcio Twitter. But I think the most important topic of conversation right now, Richard, has to center around the health of Evan Ndika. As everyone knows, during the Udinese Roma match, that game was abandoned as Ndika collapsed with chest pains in the second half of the match. So Richard, you have an update for us.
So the first update comes here from Reuters. It says Ndika was conscious but visibly in pain, rubbing his chest with his right hand as the medical team rushed towards him. Roma later said he was in good spirits. He gave the thumbs up, as we saw during the game. They did first and second level cardiological tests, which administered, and they were negative for cardiac pathologies. In light of the last tests undergone in the morning, the medical situation is compatible with a thoracic trauma with minimal left pneumothorax. Nikki Bandini, she also commented, she wrote an article for The Guardian on this and says that at the time of writing this article, no official diagnosis has been made public. La Gazzetta dello Sport reported on Monday that pulmonary symptoms were the more probable cause of Ndika's apparent chest pains. He had received a strong elbow to the chest from Luca late in the first half and been involved in a pair of less violent tussles with opponents as shortly thereafter his collapse. The most important thing is that he recovers fully. A Sunday evening, Ndika was sitting at his hospital bed flexing his bicep. He's feeling much better. So Evan is feeling better and is in good spirits. Read the club's social media post confirming that the teammates had been alongside to see him. He will be remaining in the hospital for further observations. Forza, Evan. And I think it's important to think, obviously when something like this happens, immediate attention has to be made to this. And we saw both, Lorenzo Luca went there. I think Svilar was there as well. Daniel De Rossi saw it immediately. Yeah. Both teams came together. They made the decision to abandon the game as it was right in the situation. And it was also nice to see that the entire Roma team went to the hospital to be with Evan to make sure he was doing well and stuff like that, to check in on him. So, right. Scary situation, but it seems like it's getting better. They're going to do more tests and make sure that he is still good to keep playing. But we've seen this time and time again, and luckily, knock on wood, it didn't end in, you know, catastrophically. So thoughts on this whole situation?
Well, it sounds like, every when something like this happens, and we saw it with Christian Eriksen, we've seen it with players in the past, every second is critical to make sure that the athlete is given the appropriate treatment and attention, because just about every move you make has to be life-saving. So yep. You never know what's really going to happen. Unfortunately, this is going to turn out to be good news. And that it seems that Indica are going to recover. Full credit, and the Udinese fans, see, this is what happens now. Udinese fans, very understanding and respectful, full credit to them. Well, thankfully, two Udinese fans were banned several weeks before, because you can only imagine what their response would have been to the whole situation. Thank God we don't have to talk about that. Yeah. But nonetheless, it's good to hear that things are better. You want this to come out to be a positive thing. What this means for him playing going forward, at this point, who cares? Let him take the proper steps to recovery, make sure that everything's working and functioning. So, continued support for Evan and Dika during this time.
Absolutely. Yeah. Scary situation, but like I said, could have been a lot worse. Luckily, people were aware of what was going on. And it seems that he's doing better in the hospital now. So hopefully we'll see what kind of recovery is. But like you said, football doesn't matter at this point. It's about his health and longevity and stuff like this right now. So long as he takes care of himself, recovers. We'd like to see him back, but, you know, that's only up to him and if it's possible health-wise. So, you know, speedy recovery to him, like everyone else has seen in the chat. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep, for sure. Why don't we just, we segue from Indica to Roma's win against Milan. Let's jump to that first, and then we'll come back to Atalanta. Because that was the big one, in terms of the Serie A implications. I mean, the Atalanta result definitely far more impressive, and we'll talk about it. I don't want to undermine that. But Roma win the first leg by a goal to nil. The goal coming on a Gianluca Mancini header. Off a corner from Paulo Dybala, that comes with some controversy, because in the buildup to that goal, on a counterattack by Roma, it appeared that Romelu Lukaku was in an offside position, and replay showed that he was in an offside position, but unfortunately, the VAR guidelines and the rules are not in place to review an offside after a corner kick has been awarded. Let's talk about that first, Richard. I was talking to Lisi a couple of hours ago, actually. We're having a conversation. We're talking about this very topic, and you got to think that anything that creates an advantage or an opportunity, I think they're going to look at this now, and they're going to have to probably modify this, because this is an example. Rare as it might end up being, in terms of occurrences, this is something that's probably officials, whether it's FIFA, UEFA, or otherwise, I think they're going to have to address something like this, that a corner has been awarded, and VAR might have to be used to go back and look to see if that there was an offside in the buildup, or if there was a foul that was committed in the buildup that gave the team the advantage to create the corner. Because you got some people with the hindsight being 20/20, saying that, and it's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard, that Maignan should have let El Shaarawy's shot go in, because then VAR would have come into play and seen Lukaku offside. You can't do that.
Yeah.
So the only logical thing is you got to think officials, whoever the governing bodies that are, managing officials and managing this whole VAR situation, I think they got to look at something like this, and they've got to kind of modify things to allow for VAR to intervene when it comes to an incident like this.
Yeah, for sure. And it's a shame that, so many leagues are using this technology and take advantage of it when they can. But then you have situations like this where it doesn't even really get involved or doesn't even come to play. And it's like, it's confusing because, you know, imagine you're a team who's used to getting these reviews and this and that. And then you come to a game like this and it doesn't even get used at all. It's a big game as well. You think it'd be used and it wasn't. And so, it should have been called offsides there. I mean, even the announcers were saying it was offsides. I mean, everybody was saying it was offsides except for, you know, ultimate call and which stood. It's unfortunate in that regards. But I feel like there's more goals to come in this tie. But certainly not a great way to start. If you never want to have these kind of big games where controversy is going to be the main decider. And more times than not, it seems like it is.
Yeah. And Pioli got booked over it. To Ollie's point, coaches' challenges. I don't know if they'll go that far, but I mean, if you look at football, or if you look at basketball here in the United States, you know, coaches can challenge something like that. Yeah. You know, where Pioli challenged it. It's just, you know, to a point where he got booked. but it's it's what it is. And you know, it gives Roma the lead. I think that Roma should get some credit for the way they organized. Svilar had to make five saves in this game. You know, their shape was good. And that's one thing that you got to look at when you look at Roma's teams. We touched on this a little bit last week. They're defending a lot better under Daniele De Rossi. I don't think they're going back to the old tactics. I think they still want to play free. I still think they want to attack, but I think you've seen the defending improve from them.
Yeah.
Here as time went on. The Milan side of it is interesting because the strongest thing you could probably say in this whole situation is that they underperformed. They clearly did. I mean, I think there was a game plan. Like the Pioli out crowd and those folks on the Milan side that don't like Pioli are going to sit there and say it's his fault for the way he set him up and there was no identity and no plan or all that other stuff. I don't necessarily agree with that. I watched the match. I mean, there was a plan. They wanted to try to play. I think they just massively underperformed. I thought the execution was poor. I think at the end of the day, they deserved to be beaten 1-0. Yeah, the sitter from Giroud, which is just inexcusable, after all the work that Chukwueze did. It was that kind of night for Milan where it didn't click. I don't know how you blame the manager for that. And the players just underperformed when it mattered.
Yeah, that's a very fair shot. And it's hard to argue when a lot of people are saying that. I tend to look at it a different way. I tend to think of it as a performance, what you would expect from a team who's been to the finals two years in a row in Roma.
Sure.
Break, bend but don't break. They got now a good goalkeeper in Svilar who made big saves when they had to. And this is Rui Patricio. This tie would be over. It would be 4-5-0. Svilar really had some big saves in this game. I think Roma did well, De Rossi and company, they did well to find out Milan's strengths and minimize those. And yes, Milan still created chances. They created a lot of chances, which gives me confidence as a Milan fan that they're going to have more chances in the second leg. But I thought Roma did everything what they needed to do in front of them. Could they have done more offensively? Sure, right? But it's hard. This Milan team is a possession-based team. They're going to have a lot of the ball. Inter's, not Inter, but Napoli is similar vein. And so it's kind of hard to have the ball against these kind of teams. So what you got to do is be compact, disciplined, trying not to give away the clear-cut opportunities and force them to try to beat you. And I think that's what Roma did. They stayed very disciplined. Svilar was there when they needed it. At times when they had to create some chances here and there, obviously the ball off the corner kick and Mancini. Really great on the set piece there because it was Ruben Loftus-Cheek who was covering Mancini and they had a nice pick play where Lukaku kind of picked him. Got him free, Mancini wide open. This is what Mancini does on set pieces like this. So I think it was a good European victory for Roma considering the situation. And I agree with you. Milan underperformed, but a lot of it I think had to do with Roma and their game plan as well. And it'll be an interesting game in the second leg for sure. I think it'll be more wide open because I think Milan's going to be really pressing the emphasis on trying to score a goal early. We'll see, but it was an entertaining defensive tie in this one.
Yeah. Let's come back to how Roma schemed that to get Mancini open. The guy that I'm actually going to put at fault for Milan is Giroud. Because Giroud just stayed in a position on the six. And you got to anticipate that something like that is going to come up. And then your job has got to be ready to step into that space. And there was an opportunity for Giroud to do that and get to that ball before Mancini does. And he just held on the six. There's nobody there. There was no players making runs there or anything like that. And that's where you just got to read it. Get off that line and step into the space in front of where Mancini's running and beat him to that spot, beat him to the ball. He doesn't do that. He just kind of froze. And then, but it was well designed by Roma. So credit to them. And I think credit to them for playing with some organization and to your point, you know, being tactically astute, and winning this match. I think that there was a lot for Roma to play for here besides the savvy and the experience, you know, being in European finals the last couple of years, at least the collection of players.
Yeah.
But also I think that, you know, they've lost twice in a row to Milan in league this season. You know, I think that there was a point to prove on that front as well. So let's talk about the second leg here, Richard.
Yeah.
Because this is going to be all to play for. Tomori's back where you have the pace to play a higher line, which Milan, you're going to see Milan do. They're going to be pressing to try to get back into the tie. The combination of that and the physicality to deal with Lukaku, I anticipate Thiago is the partner because he's going to be suspended for the derby following this. So might as well use him here for 90 minutes, and just hope he doesn't, you know, do anything foolish.
Yeah. Short leash.
So what's that?
Short leash.
Short leash. Yeah, exactly. I'd anticipate that being the partnership, Chow and Tomori, for the combination of pace and physicality to be able to deal with Lukaku up front and be able to absorb that. Also to be able to play to afford playing the higher line and try to put Roma under. So I think that that's the pairing that you may end up seeing on Thursday. You'll see the usual cast of characters back in the attack. You're probably going to hear a lot of clamoring for Pulisic to play in the 10 and Chukwueze to play on the right. Bove is going to be playing, you know, in more of a holding role, as Vincent says, with Cristante suspended. I think that could tend to be an advantage for Milan. Milan have not scored in any of their away games in Italy. That makes no sense. They scored three
against Sassuolo this weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what Ollie's trying to say there.
Maybe in European play.
Or no, they've scored games. In European play. They scored scored at Slavia, scored at Ren.
In Coppa Italia, they scored, I think, too.
They won 2-1 at Newcastle. So they've scored plenty of
Farmers away. League.
Yeah, exactly. So they didn't score at PSG and they didn't score at Dortmund. Those are the two away games in Europe that they didn't score. And those two teams are in the semifinals, by the way. So just to tell you how tough that group was.
Yeah.
Milan have the ability. Milan have scored in every away game in Italy this season. Yeah. So Milan have the ability to score in bunches. So this is not going to phase them. It's not going to phase them if Roma grab an early goal, say in the first 5 or 6 minutes. You know, Pioli's smart, which he is. He'll tell, hey, if an early goal happens, let's not panic. Stick to what we're doing. Stay aggressive. Keep looking for goals. Nothing really changes with what's being done. You know, I look for Milan to win the second leg. Here's what's going to happen. I think that it's going to be they win 2-1 after 90 minutes to make it 2-2 on aggregate. And then I think they go and grab the third goal in extra time and ride it out and go through. I think Thursday's game between Roma and Milan go 120 minutes, and I think that Milan get the goal. It won't go to PKs. Milan will find the goal to go through. That's my prediction.
So, the correction, Ali said Milan have not scored, meaning they scored in every away game this year. So that makes more sense than not scored in away game. So I got you now, Ali. I got you now. Yeah. All right. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I think we're going to see with Roma very much what we saw in the first leg. It's going to be Milan's going to have the ball. They're going to be compact, defensive, and trying to really close up shop and, you know, play on the counterattack, as you know, as you said, and take the opportunities there when they have it. I think they're going to certainly look for Lukaku to go on the break, and it'll be interesting to see how Gabbia, Ciao, whomever is partnered with Tomori, how they do against it. Obviously, Tomori has the closing speed, but does he have the strength to match up with Lukaku? We'll find out. It'll be an interesting tie for sure. I certainly think I'm in that camp that said De Rossi outmanaged Pioli in that first leg just because he got the result. He got the result, right? Pioli's going to have to do the same now in the second leg where he's going to outmanage De Rossi. Milan's going to have to put them on the pressure from the beginning. The pressure's going to be a lot on Roma. But, I mean, obviously, Milan's going to have pressure to get back this game, but Roma to hold Milan for another 90 minutes is going to be immense pressure. You're at home. You have the lead. It's a lot of pressure. And if Milan can get on the front foot early and get them rocking, get the chances, you know, created, an early goal could really unset this thing. The longer this goes 0-0 or the longer Milan goes without scoring a goal, the more comfortable Roma are going to be in this game.
Yeah.
If Milan gets an early goal, this can become catastrophic for Roma just because of the situation and all the pressure at home. But if we're looking at late first half, second half, where Milan still hasn't scored yet and it's getting late into the game, Roma's going to be very comfortable just doing what they did in that first leg and, you know, taking their chances when it comes, living off the set pieces. Again, you have to be wary of guys like Mancini and Lukaku on the set pieces because they're big guys, they're big bodies, and it's hard to contain. We saw that in the first goal. Mancini did the same thing in the derby where he scored against Lazio. So it's going to be much the same. I think, though, I was confident in the amount of chances Milan created in that first leg. The only reason we're not tied going into this leg because Olivier Giroud did a very un-Olivier Giroud-type finish at the end of the game. He did the same thing as Sassuolo where they could have won it. I think that'll be corrected. He tends to be a big game player, and I think he will show up. But Milan created a lot of opportunities, whether it's with the starters or subs. I feel that they will create enough and get the win in this. But if anybody can keep Milan out, I think this Roma team can. And you know, I think if the winner of this, I think can get enough momentum to go to the finals. It'll be a tough Bayer Leverkusen they'll probably have to face, who got the lead over West Ham. But I think both teams are structurally sound where they could make a deep run. So this will be really, in my opinion, for all the marbles, at least get into the finals. We'll see.
Yep.
But I pick Milan. Yep. So
you're taking Milan as well?
I am.
Okay.
I don't want to see penalties. If it goes to penalties, Roma win, because Filar, I think he's a superior penalty kick stopper to Magnon. But Magnon is a better keeper ever so slightly, you know?
Yep. On to the more impressive result. Now let's bounce it back to Atalanta. In the nobody saw this coming category, Richard did to an extent, but you know, he did this out of banging the drum for Italian football more than anything. We played the clip. Richard played the clip on social media on what we said would have to happen for Atalanta to win. And Atalanta went and did exactly that. Go back and look at it. I don't know if you have the clip, Richard, to share, but not right now. Okay. Go back to that, because I think we talked out, you know, what Atalanta would need to do to win the match, and they went out and did it. The play of their wing backs was exceptional. Ruggeri was outstanding down the left. Zappacosta with an assist down the right for Scamacca. And that was, you know, in the limited amount of possession that Atalanta had, because Liverpool did monopolize it. Atalanta made great use of the ball, exposed Liverpool, and a shock 3-0 win. So they have a 3-goal advantage that they're taking back to Bergamo against Liverpool. What impressed you most about Atalanta's performance here, Richard?
I think that they were clinical. We knew Liverpool was going to have most of the possession. It's at home. They're going to come out firing. But I think Musso overperformed for me. I thought he was very good in this game. Made big saves when he had to. The defense stood tall when they had to. But when they went up in the attack, they exposed Liverpool's defense, and they were clinical in the finishes. Kamaka's second goal was brilliantly taken. I mean, De Catalari with a wonderful cross, and he volleys it out of the air perfectly, puts it back in the net. Great goal there by Scamacca. But just the fact that they, Koop Meiners was heavily involved, as we thought he would be. He kind of led the breakout on the first goal with a wonderful touches, double team, as he should be, but he still found a guy open, found Zappacosta, who ended up finding Scamacca for the goal. The fact that they were clinical, and that's what we said, you have to take your chances against Liverpool and put it away. You know, we thought maybe a goal or two on the road would be enough. Man, 3-0, fantastic performance, as Ollie said in the chat, or as someone said, Atalanta, don't go for the win now. Just play for a draw. Get a goal, but lock up shop. You don't even have to play for a goal, honestly. You know, play smart. Don't give Liverpool too many chances. Liverpool will come and create chances, but just be smart. Be a lot smarter than you were before. This was their best victory in their history, I would say. You know, at least in modern history. And you don't need much to get through. Liverpool are salivating at the fact that what happened this weekend, where Atalanta went up 2-0 within the first 18 minutes and then blew that lead. So they're like, oh, we have a chance, boys. Here we go. But, you know, Hellas is greater than Liverpool, you know.
It's going to be very telling. The lineup that Liverpool puts out for this game on Thursday will tell everything. Yeah. You know.
But they got a big game themselves this weekend.
They're still very mired in the Premier League hunt. But they did take a step back. A very bad loss to Crystal Palace on Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, which has put them behind. But, you know,
they got Fulham this weekend.
Exactly. What Klopp puts out there Thursday will tell what kind of investment Liverpool has in trying to come back. Klopp never likes to give up, so I expect that he's going to put a strong lineup out there. I'm going to default to that. And I think that Liverpool are going to win. I think it's going to be goals. Okay, they're gonna chase this. Okay, and then, you know, I don't think Musso will play as well this time around. I'm gonna say Liverpool win 3-2, because Atalanta are going to score a couple of goals that, you know, kind of derail Liverpool's momentum. It's gonna be one of those kind of games, and they're gonna find a way to score some goals. Atalanta is gonna keep scoring. So 3-2 to Liverpool, 5-3 on aggregate to Atalanta is how I see this going down. Atalanta will reach the semifinals, where they will, of course, likely play Bayer Leverkusen.
I thought that was...
I'm sorry, they're playing, yeah. Excuse me, the winner of Benfica Marseille.
Yeah, which is no easy feat right now either.
Yep.
It's going to be an interesting game. I think Musso is going to have to play out of his mind again. For them to have a chance, but it's what kind of Gasperini are we going to have? I think we've talked about this all season long, how this Atalanta team now knows how to play two different styles, where they can play very defensive or very attack-minded, and they even found a little blend of it this year as well, but they're going to have to have their best game. As good as that game was, 3-0, it's going to be an onslaught from Liverpool, because Liverpool and Klopp, they're not going to give up, and if they get an early goal, it's only going to be more frenzied for them. They're going to be like a shark with blood in the water. But I think there is opportunity for Atalanta to score goals as well. I can see this getting close and testy, but, you know, I'm just going to say, Atalanta lose 2-1, but win 4-2 overall in the aggregate. I think they're going to lose this game, but they're going to do enough just to keep Liverpool away and honest.
Yeah.
Should. I mean, it'd be nice. It'd be good for Serie A, obviously.
I have a right to change my prediction if Liverpool's lineup is like has a bunch of reserves in it. So
yeah, sure.
But I'm defaulting to the idea that they'll put a strong lineup out there and try to give it a go.
I agree with you.
As the game wears on and they can't close that deficit, you're going to start seeing some substitutions that will tell you, okay, white flag. We've got a league title to chase.
Yeah, so. If we're 60 minutes in or something like that, and it's still not even close, still 3-0 scoreline or whatever, yeah, they're gonna start pulling people away. But if you're talking about one goal at this point, they might put in more people in. Who knows? But we'll see.
Yep. Agreed. Agreed. So that's our rundown. Let's take a quick Fiorentina get Victoria Pilsen at the Artemio Franchi. We'll talk about that real quick with the Conference League. It was a 0-0 draw in Czechia. The rematch here in Florence on Thursday. I fully expect Fiorentina to get this done and progress to the semifinals. I'm going to go with a 2-0 win for Fiorentina. So they'll go through 2-0 on aggregate.
Yeah, I like that. I fully expect Fiorentina to move on, so I like that scoreline. 2-0 for me as well.
Yep. That's about as much time we'll spend on Conference League. Yeah. So.
Yeah. If they make the finals, we'll talk more.
Yep, for sure. Okay, so let's move on now. Man, we're flying on this one. Yeah. We get to match week 32, and the action began on Friday with Lazio beating Salernitana by 4-1. Felipe Anderson in the 7th minute, Matias Vecino in the 14th to get a quick 2-0 lead for Lazio. Laum Chauna in the 16th minute pulled one back pretty quickly, but then Felipe Anderson again, great combination team goal, goal of the week candidate for me, 35th minute, 3-1 at halftime for Lazio. And then Gustav Isaksson for good measure in the 87th minute, a 4-1 winner there. If you decided not to watch Calcio on Saturday, don't worry, there wasn't any. Only one goal out of three games, and it was an important one, an 89th minute goal. So this one was almost 0-0 as well. Yeah. Nicola Sansone for Lecce, three important points against Empoli, to try to continue to secure their safety. But then a couple of 0-0 draws, the Derby della Mole between Torino and Juventus, and then also Bologna and Monza playing to a 0-0 draw. Suddenly Bologna just not scoring goals anymore, need to watch themselves a little bit if they're trying to maintain top five and go against all odds and reach that Champions League place. Sunday morning began with Napoli and Frosinone. We had a goal of the week. Well, we had the goal of the week from Matteo Politano. Wonderful curler in the 16th minute. There was a penalty for Frosinone on 30 minutes that was saved. Sula took it. It was saved by Meret. So that was the good of Meret. The ugly of Meret turned up in the 50th minute. Yeah. Not sure what he was doing, but tried to play. Sule intercepts it in their own penalty area, just taps it over to Walid Khedira. As easy a goal as Khedira is going to get. 1-1 there. 63rd minute, Victor Osimhen from Kvaratskhelia, making it 2-1. But then that man Khedira again in the 73rd, making it 2-2. And that is how it would finish. Mario Rui with a late second booking in the 98th minute. Sending him off and having him suspended for Napoli's next match. Sassuolo and Milan, 3-3. This one was one of the entertaining ones of the weekend. Andrea Pinamonte with a goal of the week candidate in the 4th minute, scoring on an assist from Christian Torstvedt. Armand Lorienté just, treated Alessandro Florenzi like an old man and raced right past him and put one past Sportiello to make it 2-0. Rafael Leao with a goal of the week candidate in the 20th minute. Very impressive goal after some nice take-on work. That's how it was at halftime. Lorienté would score again, making it 3-1. This was in minute 53. And then what does Pioli do? He makes substitutions. Well, Luka Jovic wasn't a substitute. He started. He makes the substitutions, and then all of a sudden Milan starts scoring goals. Luka Jovic was not a sub. And actually, neither was Noah Okafor, now that I look at it. But after he made all of the adjustments, Milan were able to fight back, make it 3-3. Could have scored even more, the way that was going, but we'll settle for the draw. The Udinese-Roma game, which is abandoned, we talked about that with Evan and Deacon and his help at the top of this podcast. Roberto Pereira in the 23rd minute, Romelu Lukaku in the 64th minute, excuse me. Have they decided, are they going to resume that match? Are they going to replay it? Are they going to just say it was
I imagine they have to replay because it could have European places on the line.
And relegation.
And relegation. So I'd imagine they would play it again. When? Yeah. They don't know yet.
Udinese has 16 draws this year.
Good for them.
They've only...
if they survive, it's because of that.
They've only won 4 games.
Wow.
They have 28 points. They have 4 wins. They have 16 draws. So... They could be potentially setting the record for most draws in a season. So
yeah,
we'll have to look that up. Inter and Cagliari. Inter saw Milan drew and said, no, wait a second. We're going to draw too. We want to clinch this thing in your face.
Probably. So probably.
You're not getting off easy. 12th minute, Marcus Thuram scoring. Shamuradov in the 64th minute for Cagliari. And then a Calhanoglu penalty in the 74th minute, making it 2-1. And then it was Cagliari again rescuing points, which is what they've been doing all season. Nicolas Viola in the 83rd minute rescuing a point for Cagliari there as they continue their march towards survival. And then Monday's action, you had Fiorentina 1-1. And that was Fiorentina's build up to their Conference League game. They fell behind first. Gudmundsson on a penalty in the 42nd minute, and then it was Jonathan Ikone, a headed ball from a nice cross from Giacomo Bonaventura, making it 1-1 there. And then finally, you had Atalanta and Verona. Atalanta got out to a quick 2-0 lead in 18 minutes. Gianluca Scamacca in the 13th, Ederson in the 18th. And then the second half, the comeback was on from Hellas Verona, 56 minutes. Darko Lazovic and Tijani Noslin on the hour. And that's how that ended. Where do you want to start, Richard?
First, I'll start with Ali's comment. It says he heard that they will need to replay the match from minute 72 onward, the Roma game, that is. So that could be interesting. Okay. They did play most of the game, so maybe that's what they felt.
How are they going to do that?
I don't know.
That'll be interesting.
Play it after one of their games. It's like a half game, you know? I don't know. That's interesting there. Let's see. Lazio getting a win. I think the Salernitana Town are being really sloppy in that one. They got the goals at least, but didn't really matter. For me, I think the Lecce-Empoli game, relegation six-pointer there, huge points, 3 points for Lecce. The keeper for Empoli, now is Caprile, made a huge mistake early in the game. Luckily, didn't cost him at that time, but it hurt the team because they had that mistake. He has this mistake, doesn't handballs it out of the box. Empoli go down. They score a goal. They think they're, Chetty scores the goal. And, you know, they're celebrating. And the referee's like, wait a minute, everyone's complaining. Look, there's a handball. It clearly was a handball by Caprile. Hurt his team there. And ultimately, you know, let you come back down at the end of the game and get the winner. That's one of my goals of the week there, just because how important goal for them. And, you know, that may save them from, you know, getting relegated this year with that big win against Empoli. It might put Empoli in a situation where they may get relegated. Huge victory for Lecce, you know, and happy for the Lecce UK fan club there in England, celebrating that. I know I got a lot of messages from them after that. Derby della Mole, or as some Juventina is saying, Derby della Caca. A game where Juve were the better team. However, they didn't put their chances away. Vlahovic missing numerous opportunities. Yildiz had some great, you know, great chances, but Sergej Milinkovic-Savic. Vanya Milinkovic-Savic came up some big saves in the game. He stopped Vlahovic 1 point point blank, stopped the Yildiz shot. Had a lot of good plays in that game. Sanabria had a great chance as well, as I think it was Ilic maybe late in the game. Chesney had to make some couple saves, but overall, I think it's a fair score line. Yes, we know Juve is a better team, but if you can't score in these kind of games, Torino deserved all the points in this. And I think, you know, Juric was obviously angry at some of the plays in this game. We got a red card in this game. You know, maybe he's not coming back next year. We'll see. But, you know, for Torino, this is a decent result. For Juve, obviously not what they want. But, you know, in the grand scheme of things, how the top three panned out, they didn't lose any place in this. Bologna-Monza game, interesting game, because another game where Bologna doesn't score a goal. But I think this game was deceiving in terms of the scoreline, because it wasn't like Bologna didn't create opportunities. They had plenty of opportunities. I thought Orsolini looked like a man possessed in this game. He just wanted to take shots, try to score goals left and right. But unfortunately, they came up against a wall named Drigorio, who was just making save after save after save. And this one, he seemed like the only player who was playing for Monza, because Monza looked very much in vacation mode. It just, anything that Bologna created, and it wasn't that much, but they created enough where they should have scored goals. And any other day, they probably would have scored. But unfortunately, it came up a hot goalkeeper. And we've seen this season when he's on, he's stopping everything. And what he did in this game, and I think, you know, the man of the match that game has to be Di Gregorio, because he stood on his head, to use a hockey terminology, and really kept Bologna out. As you mentioned, it's getting tight now with Roma, because Roma have a game at hand now with them. They're only 4 points back. A win puts them 1 point behind Bologna. There is still, what, an 8-point cushion between Bologna and Atalanta, who are sitting in sixth position. So there's still room there. But to what you said earlier, I think it might get a little tight there in Bologna now. You know, you're not getting any goals lately, and yep, the gaps are closing. And so with what seemed like a foregone conclusion that you're going to be in Champions League, it's like, well, slow your roll here. And if Atalanta go and win, you know, Europa League somehow, do they, Bologna get bumped out? Maybe. I don't know.
Or do they have six teams? That'll be interesting to find out.
Or maybe six teams, right? That could be it. And then my last two comments. I think Napoli's defense was just horrid against Frosinone. They should have won that game. Inter as well. I think they were losing, drawing on purpose so they could, you know, throw everything in Milan's face in the derby. Maybe. But I thought Cagliari had a good fight in this game. They needed those points. They needed that point for their relegation survival. Yep. Frosinone as well. But the Milan game, it was just horrible defending. Obviously good for Milan to come back into the game. You saw the good of Sassuolo with Lloriente getting involved in the goal scoring, Pinamonte doing very well in absence of Berardi. But it's that defense of Milan was just so trash in that game, and they finally got to figure it out at the end, because all their players drug them back into the game. Obviously having Sportiello in there reminds me of Tatarasano 2.0, but a little bit better. Florenzi looked old. I mean, the defense looked terrible. So it's just a game to throw away. Ultimately, doesn't hurt anything because nobody really goes up or down in the standings. But the bigger, for us, we know this, the bigger storyline is the Roma game. And, you know, for them, for the Roma's teams, Atalanta teams, these games on the weekend really meant nothing. Everything's focused on Europe at the moment. And
yeah,
I think the fact they got a result is good. But it's still sloppy defense for me. It's just not fun to watch when you're, you know. Luckily, nothing's on the line, but it's not fun to watch.
That's the thing. I mean, people, listen, it's a throwaway. I mean, people got riled up about the Milan fans got riled up about the Sassuolo game. I mean, I looked at that lineup right off the bat, and I said, throwaway game, might get a point. You know, against a team that's trying to fight to stay in the league. You know, that's all it is. I said the priority is Thursday. The priority is Roma. There's nothing that, if you're upset about this performance and you're really going to kind of use this to support your arguments for getting rid of a coach or a player or anything, it's a throwaway game, okay? That whole team, to a man, professionally knows what's at stake Thursday and then in the derby. Okay. We come to learn that Atalanta's struggles against Cagliari are part, well, Liverpool was really the focus. But we also learn that Cagliari's starting to play with some people. They get something on Atalanta. And now they get something here on, they beat Atalanta, and now they draw Inter. Okay, and then prior to that, it was a draw with Hellas Verona. They lost narrowly to Monza, but then they get the win against Salernitana. So the points are getting accumulated, and Cagliari is moving more and more to safety, and they're playing better football, and they're finding ways to get points against tough opponents. Ranieri's done an under-the-radar, really, really good job with this team.
And Cagliari almost beat Inter. They almost beat them. Viola nearly had a goal at the end, and I think they had a couple other chances too after it was 2-2 already. Yeah, they're playing better. They're playing a lot better, and they're trying to stay in Serie A next season. So, yeah, they've really turned the corner, and so yeah, it's good, because I think you know, it's a difficult place to play, and you want to have that in Serie A. But hopefully they just can start better in the seasons, because, man, they get in these holes and they got to dig themselves out.
There's somebody I wouldn't want to play right now if I have an ambition to achieve something. That's a team that I right now would not want to play, because they're now playing with a ton of confidence. When you look at it, they also drew Napoli back in February. So, you know, in this run, you know, in these last eight games, they've only lost once. That was a 1-0 loss at Monza.
Wow.
So, you know, so they've gone on a little run here. You know, that began after they've gone on this run after losing four straight. They lost at Frosinone, then they lost to Torino, they got battered at Roma, and then they lost at home to Lazio. And then after that loss to Lazio, they've gone on a run where out of 24 points, they've gotten 13. And for a team that's trying to survive, that's damn good. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's pretty damn good. And that's the kind of form that over the course of a season, you know, is getting you somewhere around, well, through 32 games. That would be their form right now. If they played with that kind of form through these first 32 match weeks for Cagliari, they'd have 52 points. Okay. Unfortunately, they haven't carried that form all season. Ahmed, our resident fact checker, is back. It's been a while since we've seen you, Ahmed. Good to see you. But no, he said some weird explanations given in open VAR. That goal should have been disallowed 100% and you're on it. Yeah, we've already talked about that. So, call back to handball from Lapadula.
Yeah, I think he's talking about the Cagliari-Inter game where the goal.
Oh, I thought he was talking about the Milan-Roma game.
No, he's talking about the Viola goal. When the ball came in, it hit off of Lapadula's arm and then goes right to Viola, who puts it away for the goal. And yeah, in theory, it should have been called back. I'm guessing the reasoning why they didn't call it back is they're saying it was almost a natural position or unintentional, or I'm not exactly sure what they're, or maybe they're saying it bounced off of a body part before it hit his arm or something. I'm not exactly sure why they didn't call it a handball. That's a good question for, you know, a resident referee, or see what, you know, Christina Uncles of the world would say about that. But I was curious about that as well. But yeah, I don't know. It's a very good question.
Yeah. I want to talk about Lazio a little bit. You know, they've got Tudor as manager. They're on 49 points. They've got the most outside of chances to nab top five. They're going to possibly be as many. You know, if Roma figure out how to make this up, they're going to be at least seven, if not 9 points back. So it's going to take a miracle for them to clinch Champions League. You know, but they're going to be trying to fight their way. The issue is, and I want to call on Stephen Moore's tweet that he had today.
Okay.
Stephen Moore, who is founder of the Laziali.
Yep.
You know, and a past guest on this podcast. Lazio Summer Mercato is going to be the craziest one yet. A massive overhaul is around the corner. We will see a very different team next year. Gone. Pedro, Felipe Anderson, Luis Alberto, and Kamada. Saying goodbye likely to Marusic, Husay, and Vecino. And there's question marks on Romagnoli, Zaccagni, and Immobile. Yeah. I mean, who does that leave them with? I mean, Gila Fuentes, Guendouzi, Castellanos, Provedel. Not many guys, you know. Do you see, you know, how do you see this happening? Because it's Tudor's got a 2-year contract, so he's going to be the manager next season. And Guendouzi's alone, so he may not be back. So this is going to be a very fascinating team to watch in the summer, to see how they're going to be constructed and what they're going to be like and what their ambitions are going to be going forward.
Yeah, Vincent says Lazio for relegation next season. I wonder why he would say that.
Bias there, is there?
But I mean, it does bring up a good point, because how Lotito handles this this transfer window is huge. This is a big summer for them.
Mm-hmm.
They could either nail this out of the park. They could obviously just have a team that's good enough to stay in the league. Or they could be a crapshoot. It doesn't work out at all. And they could be easily in the relegation fight. I think if you're looking at those three scenarios, the least likely is they're going to nail it out of the park. Because I haven't seen anything yet that tells me that they do great jobs on the Mercato in general. Yeah, they pick up one or two players here, but you're looking at almost a complete overhaul, like to Steve Moore's point. And I'm not convinced that the management knows enough of what they're doing that they're going to build a team that's going to be a challenger all of a sudden, or you know, for a European place even. I think the more likely scenario is going to be you're going to see a mediocre team that is just mid-table. Or worse, but it's too early to tell. It's a big task for the management team, and we'll learn a lot about what happens with Lazio going forward, because this could either be, a job that's gonna skyrocket to whoever makes all the signings. I'm not talking about Lotito, but if the sporting director or whatever could set up to new heights, because this would be an amazing feat if they could rebuild, overhaul, and make them challenging again for one of the obviously Champions League is what you want, but even Europa League at this point, you want to be challenging for a European spot. That would be a tall task at this point. We'll see though. Time will tell if they can figure it out. But I would guess that they would not even be in the European discussion next season.
Yeah,
at present,
it could be a mid-table team. It could be a kind of a retooling and reloading situation next season for greater things in the future. Having said that, and considering the departures, what if you're Lotito and Tudor? Where do you begin with your recruitment? Where do you go? An easy place to go is to pluck some young Italian talent from Empoli, because there's good players there. Cambiaghi, who Cancellieri is over there. Right? Is Cancellieri on loan there, or is he? Or did Lazio sell him there?
I thought he was on loan, but I could be wrong.
And we have to figure out if Tudor's even staying.
Yeah.
Isaksson's still going to be there. We'll have to see if Kamada's there. They might have said, "Hey, this didn't really work out." Kamada's been had some.
I thought they said they were getting rid of Kamada, but hey, I think he needs more time in Serie A.
I think that if they're patient with him, you may see season two being a little bit better. But you go to the Empoli side, you go to some of these other teams, where they've got some younger Italian players, and maybe try to build a nucleus that way. You can look to places like Monza, and then is it Tudor? Is it going to be another manager? That's going to be the other question that has to be asked. So Lazio is going to be very fascinating to look at. Ahmed made comment about Napoli and Juventus as well. Napoli, Zielinski's probably gone.
Yeah.
Osimhen might be gone. He might be sold. Kvaratskhelia might be sold. And there might be a couple of other pieces going. So we'll have to see. We'll have to see what those teams do.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting. So, I think that Inter are in a position where they don't have to go crazy. They can just add a piece or two. I honestly think Milan aren't in a position where they have to go crazy. I think they're in a position where they can add a couple of pieces. I think they need a player that can protect the center backs, a tackling, ball-winning midfielder, Milan. Okay. They don't have that right now. The closest thing they have to that is Bennacer, and Bennacer's maybe average at it. Who else is on this list? I like how Roma are constructed.
Yeah.
I don't think they need much to add on. Atalanta are always going to have their players that are ideal for their system. Bologna might. Xerxes is going to probably be sold, and it's going to be very interesting to see what they do with that. They're going to have to reinvest that money, especially if they make Champions League. So It's a nice mix. Some teams like, you know, the Juves, Lazios, and Napolis are going to have to are looking at overhauls. Where the Atalantas, Romas, Milans, and Inters, you know, you're probably just talking about adding a couple of pieces. So, and then you've got Bologna, where it's going to be a matter of, you know, if you're going to be seeing European competition and having to play every 3 days, you sell Zirkzee, whatever money you're getting for him, you better reinvest it right back into that team. That's kind of how I see how it's playing out with the teams that are sitting at the top.
Yeah. I think, you know, at least with Milan, I think, you know, there's a likelihood that Xerxes is going there. I know they've been talking about it. They're having conversations right now. But for me, I think Milan need another center back to go with Tomori. You know, Thiago, Gabbia, Kjaer, not good enough.
Kjaer's washed.
Yeah. And I think, you know, obviously, Kalulu is a guy you want him to be healthy, because if he's healthy, he can play right back, center back, whatever. But you need another person to be there with Tomori. Obviously, Teo Hernandez is there, but there's no right back at the moment. So I agree with Ahmed. Chat, or yeah. But yeah, I mean, I think Juventus, they got a lot to do this summer. I'm confident, unlike Lazio, I'm confident a lot. Juventus can create a team that's fighting for a Champions League spot. Napoli. I imagine Osimhen's gone. I imagine he's gone. He's talked about going to England. Obviously, you need the right price for him to go. But, you know, there's always the Chelseas of the world who just like to spend money, apparently. So, you know, what they do with that money is be important, you know, to rebuild this team. A lot of the pieces that are missing, you need a player to come in and replace Zielinski, who's going to be gone. Maybe they think they have someone in their midst at the moment that can really take over that position, but we'll see. But you know, of between Lazio, Napoli, and Juventus, I think Lazio the one that I'm unsure about. Napoli, I'm confident, can get back into European play with a rehaul, and I think Juventus will be again challenging for Champions League. Bologna is a question mark for me, because what happens with Thiago Motta? Does he go the Xavi Alonso route and stay, or does he move on? Where does he go? If Bologna loses Xerxes, who else will they lose? Can they rebuild and build upon? Because they're going to be Champions League next year, more than likely.
Yeah.
Unless they have a catastrophic fall. How do they handle that? We've seen all these teams who go to Champions League for the first time, and even teams who haven't been there in a while, like Milan before. You need to have depth. You have to have depth to play in three competitions. Mm-hmm. Can they handle it? Presently, I don't think they can. We've talked about how good they are, a good team, but depth-wise, they have none.
Yeah,
it's gotten better, but yeah, I don't know if they're to be ready for a compete for Champions League. So they're hoping they get money for Xerxes and be able to bank on him, bank on that money to rebuild that squad. But it'll be interesting. I think Roma are in a good position going into next year.
Yep. Ferguson is another Ferguson would be a massive loss for Bologna. Yeah. We'll just have to see. You know, I think that you can look to some players that are, you know, in the mid table right now, that are on teams that are in the mid table right now for, you know, as part of the reinforcement. We talked about some of these guys. You know, Lecce boasts a handful of players. Cagliari boasts a, guys that can be, you know, rotational players maybe that are pieces that you can add. So we'll see. It's, Ferguson's got the ACL tear, exactly. Mm. So we'll see what happens. But, the whole conversation started with Lazio. They're going to have the biggest overhaul to me in support of what Steven was saying on his tweet.
Which, by the way, all the relegation teams are going to have lots of players you can pick from, you know?
Exactly. And you can follow Steven at S_K_more, and that's with two O's, MOORE. So Steven, just want to make sure I credit you for the for your tweet. But they will have the biggest overhaul. Do they bring back Candreva? What's the Lernitano going down?
Not bad. Why not?
Why not?
Why not?
Can't hurt. Yeah, can't hurt. He's going to be cheap.
He is.
He's going to be cheap. He can give you a season. So we'll see what happens. Goals of the week.
No real goals of the week for me. I think my runner-up is going to be the Lecce goal. Big goal for them in their bid to survive. But my goal of the week is actually Rafa Leão taking on the two defenders and then putting it past the keeper. Lovely footwork. You could see once Milan went down by two goals, he turned it on. He's like, all right, we need to get a goal back. And so I love seeing that side of Leão, and I love when he does it because he creates, and he created a goal. So that's for me.
Politano is my goal of the week. You know, for Napoli, the curling goal that he scored against Frosinone. With Leão second. No, those are the only two. So we had a lot of meh goals, or as my kid would say, we had a lot of goals that were mid. That's what they're saying. Oh, that's so mid. I was like, where do they get that?
I don't know. My kids watch Blue. I can tell you.
I've become the old man now.
Yeah.
It's like,
me too.
Why don't you just say it's average?
We were young when we started this.
Oh, I know. I know. Oh, how we've aged.
Yes.
So, all right. So those are the conversations we have. Do we want to preview a little? I mean, before we get into who won Calcio Twitter, do we want to preview next week's games a little bit?
Yeah, there's two actually big fixtures next week. Obviously, the big game is Cagliari against Torino. I'm just kidding. Actually, it's Juventus. Cagliari against Juventus. No. Roma-Bologna. Big game with fourth and fifth spot on the line. Obviously, Atalanta are going to be watching that game because they play Monza themselves, and so a lot is riding on those two spots for Champions League there. But then also, you got the big Derby della Madonnina. Big game. Can Inter clinch the title against Milan? Can Milan actually play a game against Inter? Because it hasn't been close lately, so we'll see. Obviously, Inter are not playing during the midweek. Milan, they have a big game against Roma, so it'll be curious to see. I mean, you would imagine Milan are going to put all their chips in the bag for Thursday against Roma. How does it line up against Inter? It's going to be interesting to see. Do they just chalk us up as a loss, or do they put up their full team and go for it? I imagine they're going to go for it because it's a derby. The Curva Sud would kill them if they didn't at least try, but it's going to be interesting. Two games between both those teams.
Just to be a jerk to Inter fans, I'm going to say Milan win the derby on Monday. 2-1. You know, but, man, that's another thing I was talking with Lisi about this earlier. I said, I can't remember the last time I was less invested in a Milan derby, you know? And I think that's the attitude that quite a few Milan fans have. It's actually kind of crazy. You got a lot of, I mean, you would think
you know
all
the inevitable is happening. That's why.
Yeah, let's just go out of our way to make sure Inter don't win the title at our expense. I think Inter's already, and I guess I look at it from this, Inter's already won this title.
Yeah.
You know, I wish Bobby was here, you know, in the chat to answer this, but because I don't talk to a lot of Arsenal fans. But I don't often hear it come up about how they clinched the Premier League at White Hart Lane back in 2004 when they went unbeaten that invincible season. You don't hear that talked about a lot. So I mean, it's not like I'm gonna walk around every day and run into an Inter fan and they're gonna point and laugh at me because I'm a Milan fan and they clinched the title against us on that day. You know, it's Inter's already clinched this title to me. It's just a matter, the points are the formality. So yeah, it's you know. From that point. Yeah, right. You got to say that so you avoid the embarrassment from us. Huh?
I say, you say Milan win. I say Milan draw and at least hold off the celebrations for 1 week. And that's me being very optimistic. You thought me being optimistic about Atalanta over Liverpool was optimistic. I'm being very optimistic right now with Milan getting the draw.
We're going to ride that mojo there, Richard.
That's right. So,
but I do like Roma to beat Bologna. Bologna really struggling to score. Roma defending a lot better. Roma win that one. I'm going to go Roma 1-0 in that game. I think it's going to be tight. I think the goal is going to be from an odd source, but it'll be a 1-0 win for Roma. So, and those are both taking place. Both those games are taking place on April 22nd. So, when we come back here on the 23rd, we'll have full recap of both games. So, Calhanoglu goal, 90th minute, Inter winner. Just turn the screws, guys. So, just turn the screws. Anyway, let's move on and finish up with the world's most popular hashtag game. It is time for Who Won Celt Show Twitter. Richard, take it away.
All right. So there's a tweet that came out from this guy named Vince, blue_40. He says, Chelsea could let 11 players go to start the summer transfer window overhaul, which was replied to by Nemaser and says, AC Milan. And this is the video.
Hmm? What are you doing?
Nothing. Me? Just hanging around.
So Milan just hanging around, waiting for Chelsea to drop some players off so they can scoop them up. Milan have done well against the Chelsea rejects thus far. So yeah.
Where did you find? Where is that one? That's April.
April 10th. Anthony LaFleur nominated that one.
Oh, okay. I see it right here. Okay, it was from Nemaser.
Yes, Nemaser.
Okay, great. All right, and then we go on to at Football Italia 1. This was nominated President by Bobby, Italian Football News.
Toro sabato contro la Juve. President, in bocca al lupo al Toro sabato contro la Juve. Juve merda, forza Toro.
Good luck to Toro on Saturday against Juventus. Juve merda, forza Toro. This was Irish MEP Nick Wallace at the European Parliament.
Yes, that's awesome. That's awesome. That's great. He does this stuff all the time, apparently. I've seen him wear the Torino jersey before, so that's just great. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
All right, moving on. And so this is from it's after the Atalanta win, obviously, and it's English Premier League fans and Serie A fans sneaking up from behind. Gotcha, bitch! there you go. There's a full-time result. There you go. That's your Klopp's face.
And we also got that from at SauceGMP with Randy Macho Man Savage yeah. sneaking up behind Brett the Hitman Hart.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's a lot of those this weekend. So, all right. Let's see. The original post was updated UEFA rankings after Europa and Conference League evening. Italy still in first. Germany jumped into second place by 35 points over England. And then New York City Juventus says, Leverkusen and Bayern have the chance to do something glorious for this sport. It is kick out England from that fifth spot. I don't know if it really matters at this point. But, yeah, it's very possible because you got Bayern possibly going to the semifinals if they beat Arsenal. Dortmund's already in there. Bayern Leverkusen are one step from getting there. So it's very plausible that this could happen.
Orsato is going to referee the Man City Real Madrid second leg tomorrow, and at Maximus0113 said, this is like in movies where both gangs hire the same hitman without knowing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Good. That is good.
That is good.
All right. This one comes from Apex, and it says, No Italian team, greatest UCL ever. Our reward, extra Italian teams next season.
All right. Let me just see that. Hold on a second. Was that a reply? Yeah. Okay. That was from IZ Cheek. Yeah. Okay. And then he also nominated at @not_Murata. Yamal Martinez substitution.
Bring it on the show. Yeah. good old Matteo De Sciglio reference here. Gotta love it. Mm-hmm.
I think we go back all the way to the. I think Nemesir is my pick.
Yeah. Picking on the Chelsea rejects, I like it.
Yep. So,
just hanging around.
Just hanging around.
All right. So, Nemesir, he's a past winner, isn't he?
He is a past winner.
Okay. So, we will make him the winner this week of this week's Who Won Calcio Twitter. Just getting this out of the way here, Richard. Why don't you go ahead and speak out to the people?
Shout out to, I think maybe I did this last week, but I'll do it again. Shout out to the Couch Street guys for having me on last week. It's been such a short week. I've been watching European football and just my whole time is flying by. As Frank said, we're getting old here, so our memory's not as good as it once was, but shout out to the Couch Street guys, for having me on last week. Yeah, a lot of, big games obviously coming up in European football this week. I've hit the play button. There we go. Sorry. That's my other screen was going off. Yeah, big fixtures coming up in Europa League and Conference League. Obviously, the bigger games are in Europa League with the two Italian clubs. What happens there? I think either way, whatever happens with the Milan-Roma game, I think both teams are suitable and capable of going to the finals in Europa League. Going to be difficult against Bayer Leverkusen, whoever does that. I don't really foresee West Ham beating Bayer Leverkusen. And then going on the flip side, I think Atalanta have some, have an opportunity to do something really great. Obviously, that leg was historic against Liverpool. You know, they had a big victory during the COVID era. There's no people in the stands. But now they had an impressive win at Liverpool. It's all for naught, though, if you go home and you blow your wad. They need to figure out a way, be smart about it, and get the result. Just like Roma did last round, they found out a way against Brighton just to get the result. Didn't matter that Brighton won the game. It didn't matter. They got through. This is what Atalanta need to do. They're in a great position to do the job and make everyone happy. All right?
Yep, agreed.
That's all.
Agreed. All right, well, let's make sure we have two Serie A teams in the semis of the Europa League, and that we also have Fiorentina progressing. Let's make sure we keep that UEFA coefficient nice and robust. It looks like Germany has a chance to completely solidify Italy and Germany getting the five spots with England trailing. So let's hope for some of that to happen. Looking forward to Monday's games, Roma, Bologna, Milan, Inter. Those are going to be fantastic. You know, so a lot to get excited about with that. And, it's, you know, the business end, everything's finally starting to come to a head. So, and with that, we'll put a bow on this edition of City Sit Down. We have our own channel on Apple Podcasts and SoundCloud. We're on Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio. Really anywhere where there's podcasts, you're going to find City Sit Down. Here on the YouTube channel, if you are watching us here for the first time and you like what you saw, subscribe. But also please drop a like, because that helps us out a lot too. But hit that notification bell, because that is when you will get the heads up when we are going live or when there is a video drop of some kind. We will be back on next Tuesday. It's Tuesdays, 9 p.m. East. We're going to do it again next Tuesday at 9 p.m. East. So join us there. We'll have recap of the Derby. We'll have recap of Roma Bologna. And we'll have reaction to Europa and Conference League second leg, as well as other news that will be coming through. So at City I Sit Down on X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it. You can also find us on Instagram, and then you can also find us as well on Facebook. Same bat time, same bat channel, Richard?
I think so.
All right. We will catch you all next Tuesday night. So enjoy the second legs. Enjoy the Derby della Madonnina. We'll talk about it all again a week from now. For Richard, I'm Frank, and as always, tell your paisans about us. Ciao.
Dovete in mezzo la caccia di Lorenzo e la volete.